Late, I'd like to call the November the 11th, 2019 meeting of the University City Council to order at 6:35 p.m. This evening we do have a substitute clerk. Thank you, Deanna Burris, for filling in for us, and we will try to make this as easygoing as possible and maybe even as quick as possible due to the weather. So thank you for filling in. So, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
And Mayor Crow.
Here. Thank you very much. During the study session, the city manager asked that we pull item number K-3. From the agenda. Is there a motion? Do we have to have a motion to pull that, or if he wants to pull? Can we have a motion to amend the agenda by Mr. Hales? So a second by Mr. Clay to remove item number K3. Any discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Cusick. No discussion. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Before we move to proclamations, I did want to at least take just a moment and recognize the fact that we are having our meeting on Veterans Day, which is a very important day in our country. And I know that everybody in this room not only owes so much to all the folks who have given their lives, but I can pretty certainly say that every one of us up here has a family member who has served in some form of or some capacity for generations. And to all of our veterans here and abroad, thank you very much for your service to our country. We have two proclamations which the council has signed, and we'll get to the parties, one for the Returning Artist Series for Christopher J. Watkins and one for Small Business Saturday. You have before you the joint study session minutes with the Senior Commission. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the regular meeting minutes from October the 28th. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no appointments. We have no swearing in. We will now move to the citizen participation section of our agenda. For those of you who may not have been here before, we ask that when you come to the microphone that you give your name and address. And then I think both the speakers tonight are on non-agenda items, and your time limit is 5 minutes. The first request to speak is Mayor Hatfield. And when you come to the microphone, if you push the button at the bottom of the microphone, it will the light will come on, and you'll be good to go. You're not on. There you are. There you are.
Hi. Thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Kate Hatfield, 10555 Clayton Road in Frontenac. And I'm here tonight to talk to you about an issue between Frontenac and the St. Louis County Library, if you haven't heard anything about it. The City of Frontenac does have a position statement and a resolution, and I have brought copies of it if you'd like to have copies. I can provide that. The City of Frontenac and its elected officials and the residents, I think like most Americans, find that libraries are kind of an essential part of the fabric of our community. The library and its services, though, are not what the issue in Frontenac is about. We would welcome a typical library on residential property that St. Louis County Library purchased, but this also is not what the issue in Frontenac is about. Frontenac has met with the library in regard to their proposed development. Once, more than 6 months after the purchase of property, and many, many emails, letters, including a letter from our attorney to their legal counsel, and many phone call requests, a second time we were able to meet with the library after the significant urging of many members of the county council, including Tim Fitch and Sam Page's chief of staff, Winston Calvert. So why should you all care about this, and why did I come out on this miserable night to walk 5 flights of steps? It was not for the exercise, I promise you. In both meetings with the library director and the board president, They have maintained that the library is going to do whatever they want to do because the Missouri statutes allow them to. This library doesn't have any oversight. This library currently doesn't report to anyone. They have no fiduciary duty, and they have no duty to public safety. And we have an issue with that in Frontenac. The library is not elected. This library board is not reporting to anyone. They have an ongoing flow of Prop L county taxpayer funds to spend with absolutely no oversight, no requirement for transparency, and therefore no need to be responsive to local ordinances, building codes, tree preservation plans, or even any common sense building practices. The $32 million project planned in Frontenac is counter to the library's own master plan, which doesn't call for the purchase of any land related to headquarters, much less land purchase done using a third straw party and paying $6.1 million using county taxpayer money for property valued at less than $2 million. The library appears to not be required to follow any municipal ordinances or building codes. As they've informed Frontenac and the press, public safety is not the concern of this county library board. Flash flooding related to overbuilding because of the size of the property and the building they're proposing is not their concern. An inability to meet setback requirements, number of parking places, or even the minimum size of a single parking place is not their concern. Taking down over 113 grand trees, clear-cutting 5 acres of property that will take at least 40 years, even if they were to plant new trees, to repair some of the damage they've done is not their concern. Adding a significant negative impact to what has been described in the Post and the Business Journal as the state's fourth most dangerous intersection by volume of accidents and by CBB and Lockmuir as service level F is not the library's concern. The Library Board of Trustees has completely trivialized essential health and safety considerations. They've treated their fiduciary duty, as well as the city's ordinances and building codes, with complete disdain. For example, the current library headquarters is less than a mile away. It's 9,800 square feet, as compared to the proposed unbudgeted office warehouse complex they're planning to build in Frontenac at 82,000 square feet. Plus, their plan is for an additional 54,000 square feet at the current headquarters. The Frontenac site alone is 8 times larger than the library's current occupied space for headquarters. The current site is on 8 acres on a 4-lane Missouri MoDOT highway. Where they're planning to put 170 employees, 50-foot bookmobiles, and the rest of their service trucks is a 2-lane residential street. It's 25% smaller for a building that's 8 times larger. This just doesn't make any sense. The library is proposing to spend $32 million for a warehouse office complex. They're planning to use only as much as 3% for any public use. That's the 20 parking spaces for visitors and an 80,000 square foot building. Where the mean or average spent on any of the 18 other branches is $4.8 million, this Board of Trustees is proposing to spend $32 million in Frontenac and another $18 million on headquarters. That's 36% of the entire Prop L budget being spent on 1.2% of the county population. So why we're coming to you? Because the one person who can change this is the county executive, because he can replace this Board of Trustees, whose terms have been expired for more than 5 years.
How much more do you have left? Your time has elapsed.
One sentence. So we're asking for your support of our resolution seeking the replacement of the expired board members' terms. And again, the reason we're doing this is we believe that another board would review this and say this is a $32 million waste of county taxpayer budget or money and with no oversight. And we'd like to see some oversight of Prop L budgeted money, taxpayer money, for this project, but also for all projects going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next request to speak is Aaron Ginsburg.
Hi, my name is Erin Ginsburg. I live at 430 West Point Court, Honorable Mayor and City Council, in the past 2 weeks, UCity TNR volunteers trapped, neutered, vaccinated, and returned 2 adult cats from Ward 3 at no cost to UCity taxpayers. In 2 weeks, the executive director of OpSpot will meet with Mr. Dunkel at the Heman Park Community Center and answer any questions city staff may have. Our goal is to bring OpSpot's low-cost veterinary services to our community this coming spring. UCity's kitty volunteers look forward to the day when UCity adopts a TNR ordinance to protect our community cats and their colony caretakers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our final request to speak is Mr. Gerald Tears.
Thank you, Council and Mayor. Tonight I'm maybe unusually not complaining about anything. I'm here to make a positive proposal. Gerald Tears, 7345 Chamberlain. At a previous council meeting, council requested proposals to replace the Human Relations Commission, which was eliminated at that meeting. I'm here having the honor to present to you a proposal for a new commission to replace that disbanded commission. I have titled it the Civil Rights Commission of University City. I think that's a little more appropriate. And the proposal is presented in the general form that it might appear in the code, similar to the language that is used establishing other commissions. You will note, if you look at it, that the language specifically states that the non-voting members, which would include the council representative acting as a liaison to the commission, are to be allowed to speak on the same basis as voting members. I hope this meets with your proposal, and I would like to have it put into record. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to the consent agenda. You have before you 2 items on the consent agenda as presented. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. City Manager.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item asks for you to hear a presentation from the I-5 group. You may recall that on October the 28th, the City Council awarded I-5 with the contract for developing the strategic economic development plan. And so I believe I have Mr. Ibendal here to do the brief presentation.
Well, good evening, Mayor, Council. Great to be with you on this snowy, cold November day. Just have a brief presentation, just kind of brief talk as we kind of kickstart the economic development strategy process. We've got our signed contract last week, so we're just kind of in the early stages of kind of getting going. Kind of the bulk of the visible work will take place out of the first of the year. We'll kick off the steering committee and the stakeholder meetings, and really kind of get going after the first of the year. But one of the early things we wanted to do, and we mentioned this both at our interview and in our proposal, was the formation of a steering committee. We mentioned recommended that we would have a 12 to 15 person steering committee, advisory committee, to be a sounding board through the process to help guide our work, and really be a sounding board for the planning team as we move through the process. So we saw the 9-person retail sales tax board as really being the core of that advisory committee. But I guess before you this evening to talk about some options and get your input on the formation of the rest of the steering committee in terms of filling that out to a 12 or 15 person committee. I think a larger committee has a couple benefits. One, in terms of it offers a broader spectrum of input, and also allows a little bit more of a functional working atmosphere in terms of sometimes we have a small group of just 9 folks that if a couple folks are missing at a steering committee meeting, it's a little bit hard to have a robust dialogue in terms of as we move through the process. We're anticipating having about five meetings with the steering committee as we move through the planning process about once every other month. So again, each meeting becomes pretty important in terms of having some key insights as we move through the process. Typically, every community kind of does this a little bit differently in terms of the formation of the steering committee. There's no right or wrong answer. Usually, we refer to these kind of as an ad hoc committee. Usually, the final adoption of the plan would go through the retail sales tax board and then to the council for approval. So the larger steering advisory committee is really more of a sounding board, as I said, a kind of ad hoc committee as we move through. But again, it's really kind of up to every community and council in terms of the formation and the actual requirements of the committee. So just kind of throw out a couple options for your consideration in terms of ways to form the committee. So if we use the 9-person retail sales tax board as a foundation, we would ideally add on six with six city council members. It's an ideal number in terms of with three wards and two each. Have one representative from each council person. Two would also be consideration. That way, we'd have a pool of 12, and we could choose working with staff. We could choose six to bring back for kind of final approval. The benefit of having a little bit larger pool is that it allows us to ensure that we have representation, not only a diverse spectrum of residents, but also something from the developer side, entrepreneurial side, small business side, et cetera, is making sure we have a broader cross section. So that's kind of option one in terms of nominees from each council member. Option two would be, I think, us working with staff and the mayor in terms of, again, kind of choosing six nominees from the community that would represent different areas and the diverse spectrum of the community. So perhaps some representation from the Loop, from the Olive Street corridor, other kind of key areas of the city, and again then bring those back for overall council approval and adoption as we move through this formation of the steering committee. But it's something that we kind of want to make sure we have in place before we close out the year. I understand you have two more council meetings before the holidays. So again, we want to have our first steering committee meeting in January. So it's something that we want to move forward here in a timely manner, get the steering committee formed, and then have our first meeting in January so we really can get into the heart of the planning process. So, again, it's a very quick overview. Be happy to take any questions or comments.
Thank you. How long do you see the entire process taking?
Sure. Now, we've outlined approximately a nine-month process. So, again, as we mentioned in our interview, it's really a reiterative process in terms of back and forth. So, we're scheduled to have our first deliverable in terms of the market assessment sometime in March, and then the draft plan would be, I think, scheduled for midsummer. I think July. And then we come back and then tweak that and final adoption, late summer, early fall. So again, it's kind of a back and forth with deliverables between the team and the city.
Okay, and so the 9 members of the board are actually appointed by the mayor, and there are citizen representatives. So would in considering the makeup of the other members of this ad hoc board, what kind of stakeholders essentially are you seeking? Those from business areas or just in general? Because I think you already have a core of citizens, but now what would you like to add?
Sure. I think with the makeup of the existing retail sales tax board, I think ideally would have a mix of some business owners, some property owners. Also, if there's some local developers that live and work in the city, so kind of that mix in terms of some small business owners, some entrepreneurs, some property owners, kind of a little bit more of the business side of the perspective.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Crowe, and thank you for your presentation. Is there, and forgive me if this has already been presented to the council, is there a document that articulates exactly what you're looking for in the council-selected stakeholders and to Councilmember Carr's point, the duration, the expectations? Is there a document that lays that out?
No, I mean, we mentioned a little bit just in our scope, just about the need to kind of represent some businesses, entrepreneurs, et cetera. We don't really have a formal document. Again, we like to keep it fairly flexible based on the community. I think it's also important to remember too, in terms of this process in context of your upcoming comprehensive plan. I'm not sure what the schedule is for that in terms of moving forward, but you know, that'll also be an opportunity to have a wider spectrum of community input and advisory groups, et cetera. So I think this will be a little bit more, I think, business focus, for this aspect.
Because I'm just kind of playing out in my head, because obviously I work with my colleague Councilmember Smotherson, but we call somebody up and say, hey, would you be interested? And they're like, well, what is it? What am I doing? Some talking points or something.
Sure.
To kind of walk them through
And we could definitely work through staff in terms of supplying a council with like a one-page overview in terms of what the steering committee would entail.
So as we try to recruit folks.
Yeah.
I would urge my colleagues, if we take the route where the council members are selecting, that we probably all have an opportunity to at least get an idea who everybody is, so that we make sure we've got, in my mind, the appropriate diversification throughout our community. I think if you look at the EDRST board, you do see a pretty diverse group. You've also got some business owners there as well. So I think we're all pretty cognizant of that. And I'm not sure who the final determinant is on whether we turn left or we turn right on that, but I would tend to want council to be able to put some folks in there, because I think what we have historically come across in the past was that when you have a board that is 100% appointed by the mayor, and then you have a council that's not always in sync, then you get a little bit out of sync. And so clearly, I think I've appointed several of those members. I think it'd be good for you folks to be able to appoint members to this ad hoc group, and then we just make sure that we've kind of got all of our bases covered. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it sounds like the appointees by the council, and we can work with staff in terms of kind of providing a one page overview. So as you talk with your constituents about initially serving, you would have a basis of work. So. Great, thank you.
Thank you again for coming out on such a snowy evening. Mr. Rose, number two.
Honorable Mayor and Council, this next item asks you to consider a conditional use permit, PC-19-08, upgrading of equipment at their existing telecommunications monopole facility. I would ask for a planning director, Cross, to come up and give a brief overview of staff's report. Mr. Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Mayor, Council, good evening. As Mr. Rose touched on, this is kind of a unique request. It's really an addition to an existing monopole tower that Sprint has. If you look at our zoning ordinance, and specifically the way it's written in Section 400-1390, it's got what we call a first preference type of tower site, and that's basically a co-locate antenna. This is basically a flagpole, a rather large flagpole, that already has some existing co-locates, but they are camouflaged within the pole itself. So what's happening now is Sprint is actually making a request to upgrade their equipment. The upgrade of this equipment now requires them to put them on the exterior of the pole, which now results in this not being a permitted right as a co-locate first preference site. As a result, Section 400-1395 of our ordinance now requires this to obtain a conditional use permit prior to staff being able to issue a building permit for the erection of this new co-locate antenna and equipment on the site. This was heard at the Planning Commission. They conducted the public hearing. I believe it was on the 23rd. They recommended approval of this request with a couple conditions, and specifically those conditions were that there could be no advertising on the site and the paint of the equipment must match what's already there, so it has to be white. So the goal was to keep it as camouflaged as they could while allowing Sprint to upgrade their equipment. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have and ask that you move forward on the request.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just a quick question, Mr. Cross, and that is, does the equipment that's going to now be attached, so it's going to be outside of that pole?
Yes, sir.
And I don't think that's going to be a problem, but what happens, and I didn't see that in the notes, what happens to the flag?
The flag must stay there. We made it very clear that we wanted it. Now, and you can also put that in the conditions. And if you look, and unfortunately the minutes aren't completely ready yet, but one of the things we touched on was that we did not want the triangular antennas to be above a certain height because we did not want them to distract from the flag pole, from the flag itself as they looked at it. And I think they've done the best they can to ensure that.
Any other questions? Thank you. Thank Hearing you. None, a motion to approve item number K2. Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item just provides you with an update on the Novus project. We met with the Novus attorneys today. They shared with us that they are continuing to seek financing for the land acquisition as well as the construction of the project. With that in mind, they forwarded out letters previously to residents in the RPA 1 section of the project indicating that they are looking at relocation assistance and sharing with them the city's contact for the relocation assistance office. The office will not be set up, or I won't be asking for authorization from the mayor and council to establish the city's office of relocation assistance until the financing has been resolved for the entire project. And so it is certainly my intention to have our economic development director, Libby Tucker, forwarded out either a letter or a postcard to the residents in the RPA 1 section of the project, notifying them of the intention to ask for authorization from the council to establish the relocation assistance office after the financing for the project is in place. That concludes my update and would answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions from the body? Hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Rose. Let's move forward. There is no unfinished business. There is no new business. Any member of council would like to make a report from any of their commissions? Ms. Carr.
The Stormwater Task Force voted to accept the report. It is in being put in final form and will be bound and presented to the council. And at some time after the first of the year, they will make a presentation at a study session so that the entire council may ask questions. So I'm feeling really positive about this.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, I just wanted to briefly announce to everyone in the council the Arts and Letters, returning artists, I'm sorry, celebration, and that's going to be November 13th, which is this Wednesday, and so again at 7 p.m. at the high school. And again, the returning artist that's being appreciated and awarded is Christopher J. Watkins. Again, that's this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Any no other business before the council regarding commissions? Any council comments? Wow. Hearing no council comments, a motion to adjourn. Motion by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much for coming out. Please drive safely.